Today we read almost, but not quite all, of Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved and our co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church at your house, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always, remembering you in my prayers, as I hear of the love and faith you have in the Lord Jesus for all the holy ones, so that your partnership in faith may become effective in recognizing every good there is that leads us to Christ. For I have experienced much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the holy ones have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, although I have the full right in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I rather urge you out of love, being as I am, Paul, an old man, and also a prisoner for Christ Jesus. I urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment, who was once useless to you, but is now useful to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you might do might not be forced but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. And if he has done any injustice or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this in my own hand. I will pay. May I not tell you that you owe me your very self? Yes, brother, may I profit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. With trust in your compliance, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, the root of all living, creator of all things. We live in Christ Jesus, God's Son, who loved all people and who makes us one in his love. He suffered and died and was raised to new life. In his death and resurrection, we are also raised to life that is transformed. Christ is our vine, and we are his branches, and without him we cannot live. We live by the Holy Spirit, flowing through us so that we may bear fruit for God, the fruit of love. In the Spirit, we are one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. We trust in one holy church, the communing of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the mystery of the resurrection, and the grace of eternal life. Amen.
Be seated. Our focus scripture this morning is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the 25th through the 33rd verses, continuing story from last week, a few verses beyond, Jesus doing some more teaching, this time with a crowd of people that had followed him. Pay close attention to the words of the scripture. One day when large groups of people were walking along with Jesus, he turned and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, even one's own self can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder their own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation finished and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something they couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Jesus is at it again, isn't he? If you were able to be at worship last Sunday at Call Park, you heard Jesus at a meal, at a dinner party, give instruction, give advice to the guests on where they should sit, towards the back, be last, and to the host, who should be invited to the feast. And it was those who couldn't repay. Evidently, Jesus just can't help himself, can he? So what's next? Now what's Jesus going to call somebody out for? Well, he calls out the crowd that is following him. And what's his advice about today? Family values. Tough advice. Definitely, Jesus is not out to win friends, to be popular. And what is that advice? Let go of your family, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your spouse, etc., etc., etc. Let go of them. Actually, the message which we shared this scripture out of this morning softens that, to let go. If you look, I looked in four other translations. Each one of them said, if you don't hate your family, you can't be my disciple. It's a little harsh, isn't it, Jesus? A little tough. After all, family is a sacred thing. In biblical times, in our time, we cherish our families. Well, at least most of the time. Family values is a big hot button issue, depending on how you define family. Discussions, arguments, if you will, go back and forth all the time about this. So it strikes us, hits us hard, doesn't it? Do we have to, Jesus? Well, as usual, Jesus isn't concerned about what is fashionable, what is considered normal, what is traditional. What Jesus is concerned about is what is faithful. That's a central concern of Jesus always. What is faithful to God, to a life of discipleship? It might also help to know that hate, the word hate translated in Scripture, hate is a Semitic term. It doesn't mean hate like we think of hate. What it means is it's an expression that's used to mean to turn away from something. to detach oneself from. Now maybe that doesn't sound much better, does it? But Jesus isn't inviting folk, calling folk to detach themselves with their family, meaning to get completely away from them, but to think about family in a different way, in a broader sense, in a God sense. He's calling these would-be, wannabe disciples of Jesus to turn away, to detach oneself from their cultural understanding of what family is, to a much, much wider and much more uncomfortable understanding of what family is. When one turns away from something, one turns to something else. You can't help it. You stand one way and you turn around and you're facing something else. Jesus is describing what it's like in God's family, how God understands family, and asking those who want to be disciples to grasp onto that same definition and live by it, live within it, to see what family is like in God's kingdom. If someone were to ask you, who do you see as family, what would come to mind? Sure. Mom, dad, grandparents, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, cousins. That would be for most of us, if not all of us, wouldn't it? But Jesus is calling folk to that new definition of family, which includes among all those people, all those whom we love, other ethnicities, African Americans, Asians, etc., etc., Muslims, yes, Muslims, Buddhists, sure, Hindus, absolutely, atheists, yes, the homeless, the poor, the wealthy. In this tempestuous election season, Republicans and Democrats, and much, much more. To condense it down, everyone, Jesus says, is your family, is your brother and sister. Love them accordingly. And that's not easy to do, is it? Yet that is exactly what Jesus challenges each and every one of us with in his day and ours. This discipleship thing isn't easy, is it? It gets tougher and tougher. Having to detach oneself from all of those things that we hold dear, all of those understandings, to grab onto God's understandings and God's ways can be a struggle. And we're working on it. Individually, sure, and as the church as well. But we still have a ways to go, don't we? We are all in the family, all of us in God's family. As we gather around at this table this morning to share a meal, it should remind us of that. Everyone, we say, is welcome at God's table, all of God's family. That is what we believe. That is what we strive for. That is what we struggle with. Jesus' advice after he lays that on the crowd is to think about this, count the cost. Can you really do this? Can we see everyone as part of God's family and our brothers and sisters, or can we not? That's a decision for each of us to make, a choice, if you will. But the human race will not survive without doing that. And If we can't, we can't be a disciple. Amen. Please join with me in the prayer of our Lord and Savior. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.